Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to The Exchange. This is Cheryl Castile. My guests I have in the studio today, two very, very talented visual artists, both from the St. Lander Parish area. And we have Jerome Ford, who Jerome was born in New Orleans. He's a native New Orleans, however you say that, New Orleans. How would you say that?
Depends on what part of New Orleans you're from.
Yeah, no, you grew up in the Ninth Ward.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a native of the Ninth Ward in New Orleans, currently living in Opelousas, where he teaches with the talented visual art program for St. Lander Parish School System. Jerome is a graduate of LSU with a fine art degree in painting and drawing and a minor in printmaking. You can see Jerome's work around the area. He's been in numerous different galleries, but a real easy way to go see Jerome is that he's been a part of a number of the public art exhibits that have occurred in Opelousas with Fiddlemania. And you did also the mural of the deportation.
Yes.
Of the Acadians right in downtown. So welcome, Jerome.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. And then Theon Guillory. Theon is a native of Opelousas, currently a resident of Lautelle, Louisiana. Theon took a different route. He's a self-taught artist, although when he did go to school, he did look at something where he could use his artistic talents and is currently a draftsman with Frugo Chance. Theon has been involved in – he is looking at – tattoo art, but he also is very talented at airbrushing. He has worked on the architectural side of that, doing house plans. But his painting really focuses on very good at portraits, landscapes. He is also one of the featured artists for the Opelousas Fiddlemania 2 public art exhibit, which I'm going to say, Theon, that's where people that I know and people in the area took notice of you. Was from that fiddle. Did you see that happening?
Yeah, I seen a little bit. I noticed how people were looking at my fiddle and asking a lot of questions.
Prior to that, had you had any art out on exhibit anywhere for the public to see?
No, ma'am.
That was your first. See, and I think that's what grabbed people so much is yours was called Southern... What was the name of it?
Southern Eating.
Yeah, Southern Eating. And it was so vivid. You had the shrimp and crab and you had crawfish and corn and onions and but it was so well done. And then you had a fisherman in there too.
Correct.
But it there was quite a buzz going on, and the buzz then was, well, who the heck is this guy? You know? I'm curious how somebody who hadn't been showing art, how did you get involved in doing a public art exhibit?
I was riding around Opelousas one day. I was off of work. I had never been in the museum.
Ah.
So I said, I'm going to go take a look in the museum, see if they have some artwork up in there. So I walk in. There's only two paintings. So I asked Ms. Dolores, why you only have two paintings in there? She said, we have artists come in, they show their work, you know, stay a month or two, and then they take it, and we just keep doing that.
So they were just in between the artists, yeah.
So I told her, I said, hey, I do art. She said, really? She started asking me where I was from, what's my name, and I told her, and she said, well, you have some art to show? I said, no. She looked at me kind of like, well, you're an artist. I said, yeah, but I sell all my pieces right on the spot. It's on commission. And she said, I tell you what, I have a spot next year. Put together about 26 pictures. Can you do that? I said, I'll try. And that's how I started getting out into the public. And she told me about the fiddle.
So she told you about
the
fiddle.
She told me about the fiddle.
Yeah. I mean, because that's an interesting – I said you two have taken two different paths where – you know, you started art as a child.
Yeah.
And how did art enter into your life? How did that become a part of?
Actually, I was so young, I don't even remember. My mom tells me when I was little in elementary school, she used to have to go to school because the teachers were mad I was drawing on the test papers and all my schoolwork. I just would draw all the time. And being around other kids who drew, you know, we drew attention to one another, and I just kept drawing and kept drawing, kept drawing.
Did people encourage you to do that when you were young?
Yeah, I think so. And I was thinking about that the other day. That played a big part in where I am today with my art because, you know, I never got any negativity from anybody. Even after a long period of time of people seeing what I could do, no one ever said, oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah, we know you can draw real well and brush me to the side. It was the total opposite. They always would say, wow, you know, draw this. Draw that. Yeah. Well, draw this for me, you know. So it was always encouragement from family and friends.
Well, that's very nice because that doesn't always happen.
No.
You know. So as you got older then, in your older teens and young adult, were you continuing to paint, to draw, to sketch at that time, or did you set it aside at all?
Yes. Yes. I would say when I graduated from high school, I had stopped drawing for a little while, just kind of doing the teenager thing.
Sure, yeah.
And I seen where I was drifting too much.
Yeah.
And I had made a promise to God a long time ago. I said, I got this talent. I'm going to use it, you know. So I worked my way back into it.
Yeah. Because it's... But we're going to come back and talk to you about, because like I said, the two of you have taken two different paths where, you know, Jerome, you were very focused on what you were going to school for and even in your high school years. But I do want to come back and talk with you, Theon, about, you know, just what gets you to – because when you're and even though when you are a practicing full-time artist, I know the feelings are there of being nervous and are people going to like my work? Am I going to be rejected? But I also think it's a different thing when you're not pursuing art as a career. You haven't been doing it. So we'll come back and talk about that. Jerome, art has been in your life since like young.
Yeah, pretty much the same thing as Theon was saying. I started off real young. My dad, he's starting to get back into it. He likes to make boats, but he's also he does duck decoys.
Yeah, does the sculpture. Okay, uh-huh. Yeah, with the duck decoys. How did he start doing that, Jerome?
He was into art in high school, and his art teacher was a sculptor, so that kind of got him started with sculpting.
Okay.
But as a kid, he would encourage me, my brother, and my two sisters to draw, and I'm the only one that kind of stuck with it.
Yeah. Your other siblings, though, had some talent?
To be honest, I don't think none of us had talent. Well, we had a passion, and that passion turned into something else for me.
Oh, that's okay. Uh-huh. Well, that's a really interesting thing to look at it.
Yeah. So and with teaching, you know, I take that into consideration. When I have a kid that's really passionate and not so talented, you know, I pull them in and see where that goes.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's not always the most talented. It's the ones who are more ambitious. You
yeah.
know,
and can learn, though.
Right. Uh-huh.
Oh, that's interesting. See, and I would look at it, I would wonder that, though, if that talent was just kind of dormant.
Maybe.
You know, and
maybe.
whatever you're doing in that teaching is being able to pull that
right.
out, you
uh-huh.
know? Because I think there are some people that are, because then you look at some of the people that are very passionate about something, but it just isn't going to go that way.
Right.
Huh. You then went to, you went to high school uh-huh. at, you went to NOCA, didn't you not?
No, I went to McDonough 35 in New Orleans.
Okay.
But, throughout the state, there's a talented art program. That's the program I'm teaching in. And so I got involved in that in seventh grade.
Oh, that's what
I had
what
been
it was.
Trying to get involved since second grade.
Yeah.
But again, I got involved in seventh grade. And then when I got to high school, my art teacher was a painter. And he was real involved with the city and doing mural projects. And he was really, he really encouraged us to sell our art. Not to just give it away, but he encouraged us to make money from our art.
Yeah.
And so it turned into something different. We
Wow, and to look at it back at that age as a business.
Right.
Which most people aren't taught at that age, uh-huh. that art is a business. You know, it's a profession. They're not taught that.
Right.
Wow, so you were how old when he was teaching you?
I started high school at 14.
Okay.
And so from 14 to 17, I really developed into a figure narrative painter. I started painting portraits, and that was my first sales, portraits in high school.
And so would it be like a school show that was done in the community that then you guys got to keep the money for what you sold?
No, he actually went out. We had a art club, Pieces of Power, and he went out into the community and got us jobs. Like we did a mural for Pizza Hut. We did a mural for City Hall. And so we went out and painted public murals
and
got paid for them.
Oh, very nice. I mean, that's very rare to happen at that age. So then you looked at when college came around, high school graduation, you pursued art then at LSU.
Yeah. And I still wasn't convinced that painting could be a career. So I went to LSU for graphic design and ended up changing my major about halfway through and just went into painting and printmaking.
Yeah. What got you to change?
Learning what graphic design really was. You know, I always knew that I could get a job as a graphic designer, but I didn't really know what the job entitled.
Yeah.
And so when I got into the program and really started understanding what graphic design really was, I decided it wasn't for me.
Yeah. When you got out of college or when college was coming to an end, where was the thought of a profession at that point?
I think that's when reality really hit me.
Yeah.
And I can remember crying at my grandfather's table after graduating. And he was saying, well, you can go back for architecture because I was, you know, what can I do with a fine art degree?
Yeah.
And I can remember a classmate who was in a MFA program saying that he was going to work at Walmart. And so, you know, I really was kind of stuck.
Yeah.
But I ended up working as a longshoreman. And while doing that, I got my first teaching job. Somebody just called me up out the blue, and I got a teaching job through a summer program. And then I went and applied. They weren't hiring at Orleans Parish Schools. I went and applied, and the fact that I had been working as a longshoreman kind of got me that job because the lady who was doing the hiring, her husband was a tugboat captain. And so she said, well, if he works as a longshoreman, he's a hard worker. And
boy, you never know what's going to connect,
right.
Huh?
Uh-huh.
Very nice. Wow. You know, during that time, though, you continued, like when you were in college, you had some student art shows that you were involved in.
And yeah.
What did your art focus on at that time? The style.
The style has always been figure narrative, and I think growing up in South Louisiana, it's just so much culture that's going to come out in your art.
Yeah.
And so my art has always told stories, always. And so through college, I always had a narrative behind my work. And even now, you know, I can't get away from that.
Yeah. You, when you started teaching, did your art change at all when you started working with young kids?
You know, my art has always been changing as far as the style and the techniques. And with teaching, I have to learn the material and relearn some of the material before I can teach it. And so, yeah, it's changed a lot because I'm learning about artists that I never knew about before I teach the kids about them, you know?
Yeah.
And so the curriculum that I'm dealing with is a real good curriculum, and I'm able to show some real contemporary things and It's a good program. The Talented Art program is a real good program.
Yeah. Theon, were there certain people or artists that you looked to when you were learning?
Well, yeah.
And still now?
I could never forget LPB, Bob Ross, Alexander, those guys painting in the morning. It was one technique. And I was trying to learn that technique. And then when I got older, I realized, hey, man, there's many, many, many more different ways to paint than this wet on wet technique.
They were doing.
Right. And then that boosted my curiosity. And I just started reading and learning. And now they got internet.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, yeah. You know, it's interesting. Go back to LPB for a minute with Louisiana Public Broadcasting. Because on a lot of public broadcasting channels all across the United States, you would have the shows with them teaching about painting, and I think probably a lot of people had seen those at one time or another. Would you get ready for those like each week, or would you sit and draw, or would you just watch?
I would just watch. Yeah. I was like fixated on the TV, just sucking it in like a sponge. And my mom really supported that. She went out, bought supplies for me, and I tried to duplicate those painters, those guys with paint.
Now, what is, you used a phrase where you said wet on wet technique. What does that mean?
That's when you start a painting, start to finish without letting anything dry. You lay down a wet coat, like a glaze, and you start painting your picture, and you continue painting. You don't ever let anything dry on it. It's only one stage, in other words.
Instead of setting it aside and
coming
back a couple
days
later. Right,
I can't continue until this part dries.
Yeah.
You don't know.
And, of course, they had to because they were on a show that
ended.
And
time limit, you know.
Yeah. Do you, when you sit down to paint or stand to paint, however, do you always have a picture in mind that you want to do, or do you sometimes just walk up to the canvas and what am I going to do?
No, unlike Mr. Jerome, you know, sometimes I wonder if I should always have a story behind my paintings, because people ask that question, you know, what drives you to paint? But I think I just enjoy doing it. I just like, you know, I sometimes I can't even answer that question to myself. I just enjoy doing it. And no, I don't always have a picture. But I like to use pictures. I'll use photos.
Well, you know, it's interesting because your work goes in a number of different directions. You know, you have portraits, which sometimes they are historic figures or they are sports, you know. And then you'll have a scene that's reminiscent of this area. And then you'll have a scene that reminds me of growing up in Wisconsin. And then you'll have some things that are very personal that you can tell that came out of you into a scene, but more kind of an abstract look. And that intrigues me about you, that it's kind of...
Right. And part of that is me learning. I'm still learning.
Yeah.
It's a learning process. I feel like I'm going to probably be learning for the rest of my life. And you do those things in the process of learning. You try it. I'll try portrait. I'll try landscape. See how I like it. And that's where a lot of that comes from.
Do you have something that feels more comfortable to you, a style that you do?
Oh, yeah, of course. The landscapes and animals, nature-type pictures, because as a kid I loved nature, loved outdoors. So that just go hand in hand. Plus, starting out watching those guys paint, that's pretty much what they was painting.
Yeah.
Landscapes.
They did, yeah, they did landscapes.
Right. So I kind of lean towards comfort with those, but... Like Jerome said, you know, that challenge of painting something else that you haven't before, you know, is exciting.
So. Yeah, yeah. You know, Jerome, and I'm curious with the path that you have taken with your art and your education focused on it, you know, like I said, all the way through college, were there times when you felt – I'm curious if you ever felt stuck at all in what direction you wanted your painting to go, or has it always, it's always just come there for you?
You know, I haven't reached that point yet where I've gotten stuck. I meet artists who have come to that, and hopefully it'll never happen.
Yeah.
But no, I'm always coming up with new ideas, and I sleep with my cell phone, because sometimes at night I'll come up with an idea and I want to write it down real quick.
And
yeah, you never know when the inspiration is going to come. But I'm still creating. So.
I'm curious what you're writing down on your cell phone. Is it an idea of how you want a painting to look, or is it some kind of process of how you want to create?
Sometimes it's a theme. Most of the times that's what it is. It's a theme. It's like a phrase or something that I want to create.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you give us an example at all?
I remember one time I came up with this idea, and this was about 2 years ago, where I wanted to work in relief, and I'm adding things to the...
Can you explain what that means for people that might not know what relief means?
You have low relief and high relief, and low relief is when an object kind of protrudes from the surface of whatever it is you're working on, and you have high relief where the whole figure comes off, and you just have maybe the back that's stuck to whatever the surface is.
Okay.
And so I was, you know, the idea was low relief, and this was about 2 years ago, and I had a friend who was stuck, and I gave him that idea, and I couldn't sleep, you know. I was like, I got it. I can't give him this. You know, I need this.
This is mine.
Yeah, I can't go to sleep. I had to call him and say, man, I need that idea back. I have to.
And what was his response?
He got kind of mad. Yeah, he was like, yeah. take it. You know?
So did he continue to paint?
Yeah, he's still painting.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, I've never been stuck, but I always have friends who I can call and kind of bounce ideas off. What you think about this? You know, this is what I'm working on. You know, before I really show it to the public, or you know.
Yeah.
So I've never been stuck, but I always have artist friends who I can call on and kind of have critiques with.
Yeah, that's nice to see that.
Yeah.
The evolution of your work, have you seen it progress in a common direction, or have you seen yourself go off in different directions with the work you do?
I think it's progressed, and I had this idea. I always admire abstract artists, and there was this artist in New Orleans who was an abstract artist, but he was also a kinetic artist.
Which means?
It means that his sculptures move.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, that's, my work is nothing like that, but I always liked that, and I would like to see myself get to that point, but I know I'm not there yet. And so I've always, and he had a show that showed his progression, and I kind of see myself, well, it's just movement. It's movement in the paintings. And then painting went to sculpture, and sculpture went to kinetic sculpture. And I kind of see, I'm not trying to copy his path,
but I could
kind of see where I'm getting to that movement. And so my work has gone from on a canvas to on board to kind of, I added slate to have that relief effect where I'm kind of adding the sculpture thing.
Yeah.
And then to that, the idea 2 years ago where it was a full low relief, you know, pieces of metal popping out of the
work.
Yeah. So it's been getting more abstract and more geared towards sculpture over the years.
Yeah. Now, this area that you're living in, uh-huh. in South Louisiana, it's not far from New Orleans where you grew up, but it's still different.
Yeah.
Have you seen some influences from this part of Louisiana change your work or in any way or add to your work?
I think subject-wise, it's changed. And, you know, my work has been changing since the beginning. So would it have changed if I had stayed in New Orleans? Probably. So.
Yeah, yeah.
But the influence of this area, you know, it's different, but it's a lot of similarities between this part of South Louisiana and then further east.
Yeah.
And, like, for instance, you know, music. Music is a big influence down there. Music is a big influence out here, but it's just different music that's popular. And so you have things like in New Orleans, if you want to hear live music, free live music, you had a second line you can go to in a jazz band, you know, and it was just a feeling you got from being right next to that band. And out here, you have a trail ride, you know.
That's right.
With a big crowd of people, and you can go hear live music. So it's a lot of similarities. It's just different
subject.
The mode
of transportation is
right.
different,
uh-huh.
you
yeah.
know. I mean, you think of a second line versus a trail ride. Uh-huh. I never heard it put that way. That's good.
Uh-huh.
That's a good comparison with that. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a short break. Jerome, you brought in a cut. That is Merlin Devine?
No.
I'm sorry. You brought in the cut that's Fred Hammond.
Yeah.
And can you tell us a little bit about who Fred Hammond is?
Fred Hammond is a gospel singer, bassist. He plays the electric bass. I play the electric bass at my church. And so I like his style, and I like his style of playing with the bass. But I usually work at night. And during the day, I can listen to all types of music.
Yeah.
But at night, to stay up, it's like something about gospel music. It keeps me up at night.
So
I usually listen to like Fred Hammond or something similar to Fred Hammond.
All right.
And so this is one of his newest works.
That's The Only Way to Love is this cut. right. That was Fred Hammond. If you're just joining us, this is The Exchange on KRVS 88.7 FM or on the web at www.krvs.org. Remember to like us on Facebook and to check out the website, too, for podcasts of some of your favorite shows you want to hear again or you possibly missed. Also, we are a listener-supported public radio, so please always think about how you can support what's going on here and a lot of the independent produced shows we have, as well as national and international programming on this station. And it's a safe, secure website, too. You can pledge to the station on there. So please do what you can to help us out. We appreciate it. My guests today in the studio are artists Jerome Ford and Theon Guillory, and both visual artists. And we've been talking about just some of their history and how they got into their artistic lives. One of the things, though, we were just talking about why that song was playing is the use of music for inspiration for your art forms that you do with painting. And now, Jerome, you were talking about that specific piece that we just heard. That style of music is music that you have to put on at night when you're painting.
Yeah.
During the daytime, is there music on?
For the most part, I'm always listening to music when I'm painting. But
and what do you think that does? What does it do?
It helps me concentrate, I think. I think if I wasn't listening to music, well, I know. When I don't listen to music, I take too many breaks.
Yeah.
And so the music kind of helps me keep focus on what I have to do.
And when you say, like, taking breaks, because I know, Theon, you know, we all three of us were talking about what that song was playing. Is it taking breaks where your mind is moving on to something different to do, or?
Well, there's that, but for me, it'll be more like, okay, go run and get you a hamburger, you know?
Or
go, go watch a show if I'm at home, you know? Go watch a show.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It'll be a break while I'm leaving the shop.
Yeah.
It'll be a long break.
But and music helps keep, yeah, but that's interesting. Right. Music helps keep your mind focused on that piece that you're doing.
Yeah.
Now, will you ever do start to finish in one day?
I have, and for me, when I do start to finish, it's usually not really by choice. It's because I have a deadline.
Oh, it's like a commission piece or something?
Right.
Yeah.
And so I've been working with oils for the past couple of years. You know, throughout college, we had to work with oil paint. And it's kind of hard. It's easier to do start to finish with acrylic. But with oil paint, it's kind of hard to do start to finish.
Okay, go back to that. I didn't realize that. When you go to art school, that's the main focus is with oils?
Right.
And
you usually
why is
never
that?
Use acrylics.
Because why?
You know what? It probably depends on what school you go to. But they just try and teach you traditional techniques and, you know.
And oil is a traditional.
Right.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And so after college, I kind of went back to acrylics because that's what I painted with in high school. But I was helping a friend out a couple years ago, and she paints in oil. And so that kind of got me back working with oil. And I've been working with oil for the past couple of years. And so it's a little bit harder to paint, you know, wet in a wet with oil paint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, Theon, in terms of the type of paint that you use?
The oil, yeah, I use oils. And I like it. I have no problem.
Is that what you started with?
You could do wet on wet. And I guess when I started painting, I do as much as I can that day I start, and if I could finish it, I will.
Yeah.
I like to, but sometimes you don't. And oils are, to me, is forgiving because when you have to blend colors, it'll stay wet for you the next day or the day after sometime.
Oil will.
Yeah.
So you can easily come back the next day or 2 days later and blend your colors, but acrylic, it'll dry on you. So, I think
it's... You know, it's interesting. I thought it was just the opposite.
Right.
Okay.
And it's probably, you know, I've seen some beautiful acrylic work. And it's just the knowledge of the artist.
Sure.
Knowing what he needs to do.
Yeah, yeah.
To accomplish the goals he's trying to make, you know.
Well, and I want to back up, too, to what we were talking with Jerome about with music.
Mm-hmm.
Is music something that you use as an inspiration when you're painting or to help you keep focused?
In the past, no. Just recently I started listening to music. I used to like to be and quiet where I can concentrate, no distractions.
Yeah.
You know, the feeling you get when you're trying to, like they say, when you're trying to park, you got to turn your radio down so you can concentrate.
Yeah.
It's the same feeling again what I used to get when I'm painting. I needed peace and quiet so I could concentrate. But lately, it's on YouTube, and this guy mentioned about, hey, I got to put this piano player on so I can, I like to listen to that when I'm painting. And he said, I suggest you try that as an artist. And I put on some rhythm and blues one day, and I was like, man, I found out it helped me relax
a whole lot
more, you know?
Yeah.
It's not so tense. So so now, every time I go paint, I plug in my radio.
Music's on all the time.
That's right. That's right.
Does the style of what you're painting change at all now that you're using music?
No, it don't. I like to paint, I guess, what you call realism style drum, is it mm-hmm. called?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been playing with a little impressionist kind of mixed in, but I try to paint whatever it is I'm painting and make it look as realistic as possible, not fake, you know, not make-believe or whatever.
Yeah.
So I try to bring my pictures to life the best way I could. I guess that's a style, you know?
Yeah. You know, I mean, because that's always, I hear that come from other, like, self-taught artists, you know, kind of questioning what styles are coming into play. Because you have taken a different path than, you know, what you're learning day to day, which you did in school, you know? But it was interesting when you said, though, there's music that you can be listening to on the way to going to paint. Like, you're listening to rap, let's say. But that doesn't work when you're painting.
Right. And, you know, some songs can really get you hyped up. And so on my way to my shop, it might be 12 midnight, you know, when I should be sleeping. I need something to hype me up. But once I get into the shop, it's like it just doesn't work. And I think it's because, for me, it's more a rhythm. I think that's what it is. It's a rhythm to the music that I'm listening to. And that's the rhythm I'm kind of painting.
How your brush is moving.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's
Yeah, and so you look at a style like rap, it's just too much.
Yeah.
You know, there would be certain kinds of probably, you know, rock and roll that would be out of certain periods.
And it's not that I'm painting to the rhythm of the song. That's not what I mean. It's just
it's just the flow. Yeah.
Right.
That was good how we said that at the same time. Flow. but I mean, you hear people talk about that a lot in all different kinds of art forms. Uh-huh. Is that flow that's happening, and how does that come about? And that, you know, what's interesting is when you were talking earlier, I've heard people mention using that term flow when they get stuck, that disappears. You know, and how do they get that? You know, how do they get that back?
Yeah.
And you're lucky to not have lost that. You are. Projects that you're currently working on, Jerome. What's your art focused on at this point?
Most recently, a couple weeks ago. Well, I've been working on commissions all summer. I teach throughout the year, and I promise people these paintings throughout the year. It just doesn't happen. You know? And so I'm usually backed up by the time the summer starts. And so all throughout the summer, I've been pumping out paintings. But in the meantime,
I'm curious. When people commission you, is it from a certain style that they say, I just would like something out of that
and, you know,
style you did, or just give me a Jerome Ford?
And I ask. I'm specific because I don't want to disappoint. And so, I have to be specific when I ask, you know, because they'll come and haven't really thought about it. You know, I want a portrait, and so I have to be a little bit more. You want an oil painting on canvas?
You know,
more of a realistic style. But that's what I've been doing all summer. Besides that, I've been collaborating with a friend of mine, and that's the friend I was saying worked with Alls that got me started back with Alls.
Sure.
And so 2 years ago, she had a deadline she had to meet, and it was like the next day, and she lives in Baton Rouge. And so I went down to help her. We stayed up all night painting, and she was able to finish this painting. And so a year later, same thing happened. But anyway, this time, and I told her it's no problem. It happens to me all the time. And I have a friend in New Orleans who has to come up sometimes to help me meet deadlines. But most recently, I had a deadline for a big project with Harris Casino in New Orleans. And she helped me out with that, and we were able to pump out like 17 paintings within like 3 nights. And it worked out so well, you know, we decided we're going to start collaborating a little bit more.
There's a certain level of trust that has to be involved.
Definitely.
Not just that somebody can paint, but yeah, that this is, I'm having to work with this.
Yeah. Uh-huh. There's that, and then there's the deadline. And so it's a good thing my friends are pretty good, you know. Yeah. Well, I don't have to worry
too much. Yeah, that they're talented artists. Uh-huh. So with the two of you working together, though, are there some things that you are just collaborating on that we're not quite sure what direction this is going to go in?
Well, you know, her style is really open, really abstract, really loose. And I really feel like I'm totally different. My stuff sometimes is too tight, too vivid, you know. And so when we come together.
What says who? Or that's just how you feel about it?
You know, well, for this project that I was doing, it was. Okay. And that's one of the main reasons me and her got together on this.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think together, and you know, with this collaboration is more of like interior design type art. It's not really what I've been doing on my own, but that's okay, you know?
Yeah,
and so that's why it's more commercial, in other words.
Got it.
And so she didn't want to do commercial. I don't want to, you know, artists look at that almost as like selling out. But together, it's real interesting, the stuff that we're pumping out.
And what are you learning about it? What's making that an interesting project for you?
Well, her hand is totally different than mine. She, like I said, she's really loose. And as an artist, even the kids I teach, we all have our own set of rules. This is correct. This is incorrect. And when you collaborate with somebody else and they're successful, your rules kind of change. And so I noticed that's kind of changing with me, where it's like I'm getting a little bit looser with my own work. I had to do a painting recently. Last week I did a portrait. And it's something totally different than what my work normally looks like, you know. And I like it.
You know, I'm getting like this, and I'm not visual, but I'm getting this visual when you talk about going from, you know, how you say your work was like too tight and now it's getting looser. I almost have, because I think of, there's a lot of people that are in your work.
Uh-huh.
And so I see those almost like they're melting a bit or something. You know,
there's that effect.
When you talk about that work, like you see that sometimes as it's too tight or too.
With the figures kind of blending in and not being so tight.
Yeah, you know, like when you think about the pictures you have, and I always go back to like you have a series of women that you did out of New Orleans. You know, or you have. I think of some of the other things that are on your website with there's people and to me they seem like they're kind of an abstract look.
And I think this goes back to the rules that you develop. Like for me, one of the rules, if I'm painting a picture, and most of my pictures have figures in them, I don't want the figure to be too much of a portrait. You know, it messes up the flow of the painting. And so that's one of the things I'm really kind of getting away from. And I work from photographs. And so I'm kind of putting a photograph down a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
And more intuitive painting, I guess.
Got it. Okay. Do you paint by rules, do you think, Theon? Do you have a set of rules about?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Not all by rules, but yeah, there are some rules, you know, that I have to follow.
Like, what are some of them? I'm curious.
Like Jerome said, when you're trying to accomplish something, for example, you might be doing a sunset. You're going to have colors in that sunset that are considered warm colors and cool colors. And in order to have that painting have an effect on the viewer, those colors have to be placed in the right place, you know, to where you can, the viewer going to have that effect when they look at it like, wow, you know, it just all come together.
So let's take that one for instance. I'm curious that the longer you're an artist, does the thought about that just go away after a while? You don't think about that. It just naturally.
I would think so.
I think
It comes naturally.
When I say rules, I kind of mean like your eye. Oh, what's right? You know, is this right? Does this look right? And so when I work with kids, you have to break them out of that because there's issues with proportion. You know, there's issues with value. And okay. As a kid who's teaching herself, it's like they're really graphic. Everything is cartoony. And you kind of have to break their rules and teach them a new set of rules. Okay. And then from those rules, you know, elements and principles, art theory, color theory, from those rules, then, you know, creativity comes back into play and you develop your own set of rules of what's right. And what's
wrong. Okay, that's a really – okay.
Yeah.
That was a good way to sum that up.
That's why it's called art.
That's right. And that's why it's called art, you know. I mean, because right away when I hear rules – you know, I go into this mode of, well, who says?
Right.
You know, who says what you says is right in terms of art, you know?
Right.
But you just explained it in a whole different manner, so I get that. Yeah. You know.
You'll probably never get two artists. You'll never see two artists arguing to one another saying, you did that wrong, you know. No, you did that wrong. You know, you won't get that because it just don't, you know, it's.
Because it's what's coming through here. It's what comes through.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You don't have to follow any rules.
You know, but when you think about the art form of abstract, there are rules with that, though.
Yeah.
You know, which a lot of times you think when it's abstract, well, there's no rules involved with that. Right. But that's not true.
Right. And by rules, I think what I'm trying to get at is visually, does it work? You know, is it working? Is it doing what you meant for it to do is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Because I think even for people that are not artists but appreciate, you sometimes look at something and you know that something didn't quite work with that, you know, with what you're doing.
Yeah.
Your work with murals – you started doing those when you were a kid.
Yeah.
That's a whole different form of painting than when you're on a canvas, or isn't it?
Because
I think of the size.
Well, you know, working with canvas, the size changes.
Can change. Technique.
Yeah. And so, for instance, when you're working on a small painting, you know, you use the brush for the job is what I tell my students. Use the brush for the job. And my style doesn't change too much when I'm doing a mural. I just get a bigger brush, basically.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's the way to look at that.
Right.
Have you ever tried something like that, Theon? A large, you know, but we can go back to that fiddle.
I did do I have a mural done on Cresswell Lane at Varsity Grill.
Oh, inside?
Yes, ma'am.
Really?
It's a football stadium.
Oh, yeah, because that's a sports kind of play. Well, I'll have to go check that out.
Yeah,
how was that process for you to do that?
It wasn't too bad. I used latex paint from Lowe's.
But working as a draftsman, does that help at all with a project like that,
Most
I would
definitely.
Think?
Yeah. I used some computer for my dimensioning so I can get the scale right.
Yeah.
Get the perspective, you know, the vanishing points and all that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the drafting skills did help a lot.
Yeah, it's nice how, the one can kind of help out the other side with that, with you.
Oh, yeah. It comes into play a lot of times.
What inspires you to paint?
That's a good question. Well, I guess to rephrase that question, what keeps me painting?
Okay.
I would have to say most of all, probably family and friends, and just by word of mouth. Majority of all my work was done because someone came to me and said, I need for you to paint this, or I would like for you to paint that.
Yeah.
I wasn't sitting home just painting picture after picture after picture.
Because you wanted to.
Right. That might have happened when I was younger more often, but as I got older, responsibilities take place.
That's right.
And so just those requests kept me painting. And then every now and then I would get motivated. I would see some art somewhere. That motivates me. I see somebody else painting or a picture of a painting, you know, you get the urge to want to paint too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to try that out.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of different inspirations.
Yeah.
I'm assuming drawing.
Uh-huh. I would just say life, you know. That's my biggest inspiration. Living, going through things, learning.
Yeah.
And so that all comes into play in my subjects and techniques, you know.
The whole thing that you're talking about with collaborating now, it sounds like that's something you would like to continue to pursue.
Yeah.
But maybe not necessarily in the way that the two of you have had to do it to help each other get
right.
a project done.
Uh-huh. Well, this last time we collaborated, it was a lot of fun. Even though it was a deadline I was trying to meet, her style is so different. And this time it was my project, so it was just different, you know? When it's somebody else's project, you give them pointers, but you're the helper. And so with my project, it's more, even though I gave her free, you know, I want her to tell me what she sees that she thinks needs to be changed. But for the most part, this is my eye, this is my vision, you know, that type of thing is going on. Well,
okay, so I'm curious about how this process works. The two of you are there, but only one person is painting it at the time.
No.
No, you're both on the canvas at the same time?
Well, that it's been both ways. With this last project, we did 17 paintings. And so we were able to work on individual paintings. And then, you know, she finished, and I said, hey, you need a little more information. I'm tightening things up. I'm finished. She looks at it. She's like, oh, you put too much. Take a palette knife, scrape part down, you know.
Yeah.
And so with that last project, yeah, we were able to take turns working on paintings. And I like that way better. Before, we've had to, you know, be right next to each other on an easel. You take this half, I'm going to take this half, you know, kind of work it out.
Yeah, see, I think I think that just in terms of the space would be
right.
kind of difficult.
It's kind of hard, yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And it'd be interesting for you two now. Is there the thought of coming together on a canvas without a kind of a preconceived idea of what that's going to be? That you just come in, that you're both going to come to a canvas and, okay, let's create. This is
references.
A commission piece. We're just going to.
I have never worked like that. I have never, even in abstract painting, I've always had a plan. I've never come to a canvas and just, you know, I've started a painting like that, but it even in starting, I would go back and get something, come up with a plan. Okay, this is how I'm going to make this thing really, really work, you know.
Well, you know, because I think about like how like two musicians will sit down
yeah.
and just start, you know, playing away.
Right.
And one feeds off of that one. And then,
and even with that, there's, you know, it's not really, there's a plan. There's a plan even with that. And so it's almost, you can never say there's no plan.
Okay.
And so I think I like to just bring more references when I'm creating. Even when I'm it's just intuitive painting, you know, that stuff is there.
It's up there.
Yeah, it's a plan. And so, yeah, when I work on a project, even when I'm collaborating, I like to say, hey, this is the subject I want to paint, you know. Let's do
so
it.
So, in other words, yeah, like some slight idea what the finished product's going to look like. Not
right.
not in detail, but
yeah,
in overall.
Uh-huh. I like to have an idea of what I'm going to paint before.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I'm not, and I say this a lot on here. I mean, I'm not an artist, so I don't know. I'm not sure that that stuff always makes sense to me. You know, that I would think that sometimes you would just go up to that. Maybe that's because that's how I would go up to a canvas because
yeah.
I would have no idea about.
And everybody's different.
Yeah.
You know, this is just how I do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what works for me, and this is what I'm comfortable doing.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a story once, what I done. I felt like painting, didn't know what I wanted to paint. I had a cousin gave me a box of Natural Geographic magazines.
Mm-hmm.
I set the canvas up, put my paint on my palette, sat down, went through that whole box of Natural Geographic. And guess what? It got later and later. It got too late to where I didn't even paint anything. I had to pack everything back up. And my wife was looking at me like, really?
But now did something come out of that afterwards, do you think? You never know.
I think I learned a lesson from that.
Yeah.
Next time I set up, paint, put something on that canvas. No, it was just some colors
over
there.
Yeah. Well, Jerome, I'm intrigued to see what comes out of the collaboration.
All right.
You know, because your work has intrigued me since I have met you. It's always interesting seeing what direction, you know, that you're going in. And I'm always curious what's going on in somebody's brain and how that works, you know.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the collaborative works.
All right.
You know. To find out more about Jerome Ford, you can go to his website at colorsofculture.com. And to find out more about Theon Guillory's work, you can go to artbytheoncg.com. And Theon is T-H-E-O-N. And what did I say?
It's .net. Colorsofculture.net.
Oh, yours is .net. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, to find out more about your own, go to colorsofculture.net. I typed that incorrectly. You have a show currently going on, Theon, at the Opelousas Museum and Interpretive Center and Museum. That'll be going on through the end of the month.
Correct.
All right. So you can see his work there. Do you have any exhibits at this point going on?
No, not right.
Just a number of households people can venture into to see your work. You'll have to find out who his individual commissions came from. Well, you two, thanks for coming on today.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. We're going to go out. Theon, you brought in a cut of music, a musician by the name of Merlin Devine. How did you find out about this individual?
I was at church, and he came play for the church one day and was selling CDs in the back.
Yeah.
And we picked it up, and we've been playing it in the house.
It's just been music that's been inspirational to you.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to listen to a cut. You want to do the Evergreen or the Breathe song?
Let's do the Evergreen.
All right. We're going to – that's track 7, Cecil. We're going to go out. This is Merlin Devine, Evergreen. I want to thank my guests again, Jerome Ford and Theon Guillory. Everybody have a good week.